one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome to Talk Music to Me. Our website is talkmusictomeslc.com. Thanks for joining us. Jess, you're smiley.
I know. Well, I can't. That intro will never get old.
It's always still so funny.
And I'm always laughing because I'm dancing really hard to it.
Every time you do. I just like it because the Charlie song lines up with the beat so well.
I know, it really does.
It's just like...
And I love Charlie, so that just... The whole thing just makes me happy.
Because when I threw that together, I was like, wow, that really works. Fun show today. Super fun show today.
Really fun show.
The Fantastic Plastics are our guests, and they were outstanding.
Oh, so fun. So happy.
We're going to put links to everything that they're doing on our website, talkmusictomeslc.com. I am saying that, I mean, I say it in the interview, but I'm putting it up front because I really believe that this band is a band you need to see as much as you listen to, as much as you hear.
Agree 100%.
They are the style and everything. They're very visual. They're visual performers, and they are basically what did Tyson describe them as? I can't remember, but they're like, I think he said if New Wave had just continued.
Yes.
Like if New Wave from the 80s had just continued. They're very Devo. Uh-huh. They got some Aquabats in there.
And you can't help but dance.
You can't help but dance. They are a very, very fun band. And it's just a lot of fun, but it really, a lot of the enjoyment and the fun comes from the style that they do. So,
and in this interview, we got to get to know them more, and they are just lovely humans to begin with. Secondary, incredibly talented.
Very.
And third, they're just lovely. I mean, they're positive, they're happy, they're smiley, you know, they're awesome people. So the music's fabulous. What they're making is absolutely incredible. So all around, just so much fun.
So much fun. They're a lot of fun. Real quick, let's little business take care of. We are on Spotify. We finally got on Spotify. I was a little iffy for a while just because of we play music. And we get permission for everything we play, but still
scary.
I'm not sure if the Spotify bots are okay with that. I don't know what their policy is. So, but if we are, we're on Spotify finally. So now we are officially on every single podcast platform that you can find. I tried searching for it. I don't know if it's just because it's not up yet, because they say it could take 24 hours.
It takes a little while.
But I have the link, the direct link. We'll put that obviously on our website, talkmusictomeslc.com.
And to all the bands who we've interviewed who've given us permission to play your music, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, because we're so happy and... We absolutely want to share it. And so we just love our bands. We love the people behind them. And it's just been so much fun.
I was thinking about this today. We've really had some really cool people on this show.
We really have. I was literally thinking of that too.
We've talked to some really cool people.
Yeah, we really have. And we've gotten to know them behind the music.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was always the intention. And it's just been wonderful to get to know them as people and hear what they've been doing, especially in the past year, and just check in and see what they're up to. So, yeah. I mean, just so many lovely people out there.
So, again, Fantastic Plastics, they are verified partners on Twitch. They stream every Friday night.
And watch it.
So
Seriously, watch it.
And they were doing an interview show. They kind of put it on hiatus for the summer, but that was on Wednesdays, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we are going to put links to all of this stuff. It is something
it's
you have
so
to see.
It's so much fun.
It is so much fun.
It's so much fun.
So check it out. Let's play a Fantastic Plastic song. I'm not sure what song it's going to be, but we'll play one of their songs and then we'll jump into the interview.
Thank you.
coming to us from the plastic dimension somewhere far away is the Fantastic Plastics, Tyson and Miranda. Thank you for joining us on Talk Music to Me. I am so excited to have you on. I know Jess is too.
I'm so excited.
You guys have given us something super fun to look forward to every Friday night during the pandemic and during quarantine. And so thank you for what you're doing. First of all, we'll get into everything and we'll kind of explain everything you guys are doing. But first of all, before we jump all into all of that, I like to, every time we bring someone on, I like to have them kind of describe their band. How would you describe your band to people who are new to you?
You know, the easiest way I think is we like to say, like, if new wave music from the 80s had just sort of maintained itself as a genre. We're the sort of representation of what it would sound like today.
It's a lot of fun too.
It's so much fun. Whenever you guys are playing, I'm just, wherever I'm at, I'm dancing.
That's yeah. Good. When we discovered you guys on Twitch, I was watching on my phone and I immediately like threw it at Jess and I'm like, you got to see this.
Oh, he came running and just like chucked his phone at me. And I was like, what?
Because I just knew you would love, this is your style. This is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fun. I was like, I'm sorry, you're not getting this back.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, we're for everyone. You know, you can share.
Oh, absolutely. And so I'm curious. So would you guys tell me a little bit about your origin story? Like how you came to be?
Yeah, it kind of came in phases. Yeah. I don't know how far you want to go back, but
we'll go all the way back.
Okay, so as a collaborative force, it starts, back with this band called Analog Saves the Planet that I was doing. That was kind of a one man show, and then this guy came along, Dylan, who we call Chicken Burger Disco today. He did a documentary about us. And Miranda was choreographing and dancing in this one man band,
and I made the costumes.
Yeah, most importantly,
that is
yeah,
so she made, cool.
She made
costumes.
I mean, uniforms.
Yeah, so it started out as a one man band, and it turned into like a weird like cabaret act or something, and so then the three of us started working as a creative force, and then we went on to make this band called Mandroid, Destroyers of the Human Race. Where we sort of dressed like robots and all the songs were about ending the human race, obviously. And Miranda made costumes again for that. But this time Dylan, Chicken Burger Disco, played. So he played keyboard and I played guitar in that band. And we did backing tracks together. And he did video, all sorts of cool video installations for it. And then anyway, fast forward, then it started, it formed into the Fantastic Plastics, which started in Champaign, Illinois. With just Dylan and I and Miranda still making costumes. And then eventually I moved to New York to be with Miranda, and we got married, and Chicken Burger Disco had stayed behind in Illinois, but still writes and works with us. And he's a big part of our Twitch show, as you can see. And, you know, we're working on a new album right now, and he's, you know, and now we're back in Illinois. So we get together, but mm-hmm. he stays in the shadows and we perform out front.
Yep.
So have you always been, it sounds like you've always kind of been, attracted to this style of music and presentation?
Yeah. I think, I don't know why it's a weird pet peeve of mine, but like, and I've done this myself, you know, in other bands, but I just think it's weird to just walk up on stage wearing the same thing that you wore to work or that you mowed the lawn in or whatever. Like it's a show, like, let's do a presentation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so.
That's we like to see when we go to see other bands.
Yeah.
Some kind of like, a show that's being put
yeah,
on.
Something beyond just, yeah. You know, casually getting up on stage. And there's, I mean, it's fine. There's most bands do that and it's totally fine, but that was never, I was never a big fan of that personally.
So. Well, I appreciate that because like, I don't know, like I'm kind of a crotchety little punk rock guy, but like the Aquabats, I think the Aquabats is the first band I've found that was all about the presentation and the show. And it kind of opened my eyes that, yeah, you know what? It really should be more than just
fun.
Some angry people getting up there and playing some music. Like, it should be fun. You should have a good time.
Well, it becomes so much more than just a show. It becomes like kind of everything in one. It's highly entertaining on all sorts of levels. And I just want to shout out because you guys have like the best looks. I actually really look forward to seeing what you guys are going to be wearing and what you're going to be doing on your shows. And I love it. Like, even right now, I'm sitting looking at you two. You guys look amazing. You're like the cutest couple ever. I just want to put that out there. And you guys look so cool. And I really do whenever Ellen's like, they're on. And I run over to see what you're wearing, like what's going on in the background. Like it's so much fun. And so you guys are killing it with that.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with the visual aspect, almost equally as to the music, I think. So,
and when we were on Warped Tour, Miranda made like a different costume for every day, or different uniform, not costumes, or uniforms, damn it.
And so, like, it's we have a whole,
yeah, so we have a big rack, like a big, you know, uniform rack of all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, mostly I made that many because we knew we were going to be sweating so much. So we didn't want to have to wear the same sweaty clothes.
You don't want to put on something that's like the, it's like the crusty, like once you get, it's fine once you take it off, but then the next day you're like, oh no. And especially if it's different like materials, as being a crafty artistic person, like I'm going to have to ask you more questions because I'm generally the one who, if we're doing anything, people are like, Jesse, do you have these art supplies? Yes, I have those art supplies.
Yes, I
And so when you guys, like, when you went on tour and you were making all of these uniforms, were you taking like little sewing machines and everything you would need to maybe fix them if there was a problem? I got to know, are you like a sewing kit in your pocket, in your purse type lady? Because
yeah,
I am.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen. But when we were playing, like, you know, in real life shows, I could get more, I guess, a lot of our uniforms are super uncomfortable, and like, but they look really cool. Because it's kind of hard to make something very comfortable and also, like, have a lot of impact on stage. But now that we're playing on Twitch for, like, 4 hours at a time, our uniforms have gotten a little more casual but still, like, colorful. But comfort has become a little bit more important with playing for 4 hours. So.
Yeah, they're more for the camera, too, because of all the effects we use and stuff. We're trying to come up with outfits that will help highlight that aspect of our show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of fun what you're doing, and we'll get to the Twitch stuff. I'm interested, though. So what brought you out to New York originally?
I was already living there. I was living there for quite a long time, and then we got together romantically, and Tyson moved out there.
Yeah, we'd known each other back in Illinois before she had went to New York.
And I went there because my job transferred there. So
So wait,
pretty common story.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear about your job because it sounds like you're very artistic. Was it an arts-based job?
Yeah, in a way. I went to college for fashion design and got a degree in that, but I ended up working for a company designing bedding for like many years, like sheets and comforters and pillows and all that. And I mean, I was just happy to do something creative, and that's the job that ended up moving me out to New York. And then, but I still, like, I wanted to do costumes and like something way more creative than pillows that are sold at Bed Bath and Beyond, which there's nothing wrong with that. And it helped me pay my rent in New York. But yeah, that was kind of my career. And then I started making costumes for other musicians and for, you know, Tyson and Dylan and their bands and stuff. And then I love doing that. So I guess I'm still doing it. So
that sounds really fun because you would have some artistic leeway as far as like, it's like, I'm going to make you guys some costumes. Awesome.
yeah, definitely. That creative freedom is everything.
Oh, it is. Yeah. As I say, as somebody too, because I did an art degree and my first job was, I worked for Sony Music, but my day job was doing merchandise photography. And it was fine. Mm-hmm. It paid some bills, but it was not super fun. It was mostly, you know, you do what they want and then you go home and you do something that actually sets your soul on fire because it kind of kills your soul to do that type of stuff. So I'm like, in my heart,
the outlet.
Yeah. So when I'm seeing all your outfits, I'm like, oh, these are so much fun. And so I would imagine that seeing people like get into them and seeing that on camera would just be so exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I have fun. I always want to wear something different every time too. And Tyson's like, we can just wear it. You know, we can wear it. We have so many things. I'm like, nope, I'm over that. It's time for another look.
I imagine your live shows were a hell of a lot of fun too before COVID shut everything down, obviously.
Yeah, I think we kept it pretty fresh. We would haul around a projector and a screen, you know, and we had some of the visuals you see behind us, you know, were projected on us. there. And we usually on stage would wear uniforms that were mostly white. And we'd have the projector kind of on the floor or lower than us. And so it would project onto the screen, but then onto our white uniform. So it kind of made a surreal effect. And then our shadows would be really big on the screen. And, I kind of got that idea from, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that band, Man or Astro Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I used to listen to them a lot back in the day.
Yeah. One of their early iterations, that's what they used to do. They used to have projectors on the floor, and then they had like satellite dishes behind them as their projection screens. And it made these giant, you know, shadows. And I was like, oh my God, that's cool. So, you know, we kind of did a variation of that. And then Chicken Burger Disco does all the video installation stuff behind us. And a lot of the stuff we were doing more recently was inspired by like the Memphis art movement, you know, they kind of like trapper keepers.
Yeah, retro, you know. 80s, 90s.
Yeah. And so it definitely made an impact, especially because a lot of indie shows, bands don't do stuff like that. And even though we were doing it on a low scale, it always made a pretty big difference, you know.
What's it like to tour for you guys? It seems like, a lot of bands, unless you're a ska band, essentially, it's pretty easy. You know, you have your equipment and that's it. But it sounds like you guys put so much into the show. It's got to be more effort for you guys to tour, right?
It is and it isn't. I mean, we don't have, so it's just the two of us. So we have, you know, backing tracks that we, you know, pre-produce for drums and bass. So we don't have to worry about that. But you know, we do have the projector and the screen and then a couple synthesizers and all that. But when we were living in New York and we were doing the same shtick in New York City, and, you know, we had to basically get our gear and everything down to be able to fit into the trunk of an Uber.
Yeah. We didn't have a car or anything there.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And the thing is, in New York, like a lot of the clubs do shows like on the hour. So mm-hmm. And that hour includes the time it takes for you to set up and tear down. So you know, the longer it's taking you to set up and tear down, the less time you have to play, which, you know, that's the whole point. You're there. So we got to be where we could set up and tear down extremely fast.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know, because that was going to be my next question, is how long would setup take? But
like 15 minutes or less, sometimes most, 10 minutes.
Yeah. In and out.
Was it like practice? Like, time me.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Because Tyson has been in band since he was very young. And the Fantastic Plastics is kind of the first time I've been in a band playing music and singing and everything. Because when we were in Analog Saves the Planet, I was doing backup dancing. But so I had to learn. I've learned so much about the gear and setting up and tearing down and making it easy to set up again the next time. And so, yeah, that was a whole learning process too. But
well, have you guys always been? Have you been playing music since you were little? It sounds like Tyson, you've been in a lot of bands. But Randa, I mean, what's that like to not be in a band and then all of a sudden you're kind of the face, one of the faces of the band?
I think I'm still getting used to it, even though it's been like 8 years or so now. But yeah, it's been a long process, because I'm also like a pretty shy person, and it's been a challenge, but I love it though. It's been a good challenge. It's taken me out of my shell. Tyson's helped me with that a lot.
So. I was gonna say, I wish you guys could see Tyson's huge smile as she's saying this. It's so cute.
No, it's been good, because I've never been confident with my voice either, and I think a lot of the songs I write, I don't know why, I was like, there's just a bunch of female fronted bands I really liked growing up. And so I think a lot of times I would like, you know, write vocal melodies that were really more appropriate for a female, and I would be trying to sing high, you know, and so it's actually working great. So like, you know, the last album and this new one we're working on, like, you know, I'm writing the majority of this stuff vocally for Miranda, because that's where I'm at. Like, do you ever remember that band That Dog? Like, they had a huge impact on me. They were basically if the Rentals and Weezer formed together as one band and were all females, that would be That Dog. In fact, well, half the Rentals was That Dog. So, but anyway, they like that band and Veruca Salt, you know, and some of those bands, they really inspired me probably more than they should have.
Oh my God, I loved Veruca Salt.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, I loved them. I was like, I just thought they were so badass, and it just made me want to be a rebel girl.
That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from. Well, tell us more. Like, how did you get into music? What are your favorite instruments? It sounds like you play a lot.
Well, I didn't really fully jump into being in bands until I was like 16. And I probably wasn't, you know, very good until I was like, well, I don't know if it's debatable whether I still am, but like probably until I was like 20. But, you know, I think it was the combination of Ween, Beck, and Nirvana somehow like inspired me in a very strange way. And so I started doing home recording and stuff and playing. I actually, my favorite is to play the synthesizer, but it's just, I have to move around a lot when I play. And so that's why I play guitar. But if, you know, if I was doing my own thing, I would definitely just prefer to have one of our old Moog synthesizers with a bunch of knobs and turning them.
So when did the first record come out? Like, how did that come about? Because that was, I mean, at this point, that was probably a while ago, right?
I think it was 2015. We released our first like actual EP. You know, we had released like little singles here and there and stuff on SoundCloud, you know, going back to like 2012 maybe. But the funny thing is our first EP, it's called Outsiders. Miranda and I recorded that mostly together, and then Chicken Burger Disco did drums and stuff, but we did that when we were living in
Washington Heights,
like upper Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And but those songs were actually newer than the songs that would end up coming out on our full length, so it's kind of confusing to us, but yeah, that's when we released our first thing, and that EP sounds nothing like anything else we ever did. It's cute now, and people are starting to find it and like, you know,
request it on Twitch. Some of the songs, yeah,
you're like, oh, thanks guys.
And then how long did you wait before you put out the first full length?
It was like 6 months later, a year later.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if Devolver. I have my years right. Was 2015?
I think so.
Devolver?
I think
so.
And
then when was the EP then? 2013 maybe? Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so it's, you know, it's been 5 to 7 years ago, I guess.
But yeah.
The full length was already mostly recorded when we released the EP. It just needed to be like a couple songs added and mixed and mastered and all that fun stuff. So we were able to turn it around pretty fast.
And then it sounds like you had some experience doing some home recording. Did you record all of that stuff, or did you go somewhere and have it done, or?
We record everything ourselves. So all of our releases. And then we like hire someone to mix and master. So like our last full length, we actually, you know, went a little bigger, and we hired Josh Hager, who is in Devo. He's like their utility man right now. And he's been in a bunch of other bands, but he's worked with like the Flaming Lips and Miley Cyrus and all these, you know, cool people and people from Weezer and whatever, but it's cool. So we hired him. And so we're able to take a pretty low fidelity home recording, and you get the right guy with the right equipment. They can really amplify it.
He made it sound amazing.
It sounds outstanding. We were just listening to it, actually.
I know, and we were rocking out down here, and I was like, oh, shit, it's time to start the podcast.
But if you saw how humble the gear we used to record it on, you'd crack up. But the guy that mixes it has. And his brother, the guy that mixed and mastered it, his brother is like Beck and St. Vincent's like sound guy.
Oh. Wow.
So he's been touring with Beck for like 20 years or something crazy like that. So,
but, I mean, other than that, you guys are totally DIY. Like it sounds like everything you got, you make your own uniforms, you record your own music, you haul in and pack out the gear. Like you guys are full DIY.
We sure are.
Yeah. I'm not saying we're control freaks.
Well, I was just going to say, that's gotta be kind of nice when you're playing shows and it's just the two of you, because you only need to take care of two. Cause times when I worked with bands and things like that, it just seemed like it was like, God, where's the bassist? Can anyone find the drummer? And it was like, it sounds like it would make life a lot easier because you just have to find each other. So,
yeah. And we live together, obviously. And we're married. So,
yeah, we just practice in our basement. Well, now, we stream from our basement too, but it's easy.
Yeah.
It sucked being I was like in a 5-piece band once, and it was
wrangling everyone.
Yeah,
it was brutal. And then everybody, you know, not everybody, but most people that play an instrument are also have creative input, and it's really hard to get like five guys to agree on anything, you know? Uh-huh. So, you know, there's a lot of compromise, and it's pretty tough to, it's pretty tough to be in a real band. It's beautiful when it works though.
We're a real band though.
Yeah. We're a real band. But you know what I mean? Like a full band.
I'm just kidding.
But it's great. And when the chemistry comes together, there's nothing like it. But as you get more mature in your playing and styles, it gets harder and harder to find that chemistry for sure.
And have you guys found that as you're making music together, that you have good chemistry with deciding on things? Like, do you feel like you have to compromise, or does it go pretty smoothly?
I think it goes really well.
Yeah, between the three of us with Chicken Burger Disco, I think we all bring our own elements to the music.
Yeah.
And it just, and we love bouncing ideas off of each other, and I don't know, we have a really good synergy working together.
Yeah, we kind of like stay in our own lanes, and we've like kind of carved our paths, and then like it's cool. So like he'll maybe write like the majority of a song, like the musical parts, and he'll send it to us, and then we'll add our parts and rearrange it and send it. You know, we go back and forth, but it's, I don't think there's ever a time when we're like, oh, I don't like that. Or
yeah,
right.
It's like, I guess we've been working together so long. Yeah. We kind of know what our jam is.
Yeah. You kind of found the vibe together. And I think that's like, it's so hard to do, man. Even like with podcasting, some of the dumbest podcasting, I've tried doing it with other people. And, if it's not right, it's not right. And so what you guys have done, you've caught fire, and it's, it works really, really well. It's a lot of fun. So when did the Twitch thing start? How did that come about?
It was a little, was it 2 years?
A little over 2 years.
Yeah, ago. A little over 2 years ago. People had been telling us, you know, this, you should check this out. Our manager, Randy, was like, you guys, this person's reaching out to us. There's a woman, Karen, can't be her last name, but she was writing a book about doing music on Twitch. And we had no idea even what it really was, except for we knew that people played video games and there was art and different things. And we checked it out, and we were on her show, and we were like, oh, we could probably do this. And at first we were looking at it as a great way to rehearse. We were like, oh, this is great. We already have our, you know, everything set up, and we just had a little webcam. And but then it kept growing and growing. And then the pandemic happened, and then now it's like the main thing that we do. So.
Yeah. And people had been telling us to get on Twitch about a year before we actually did get on Twitch. And we didn't know that there was people doing music on Twitch. And then when we checked it out, the stuff they were doing on there was like, mostly like singer songwriter, like a person with a guitar, a person with a piano that knew like 300 songs. Like we didn't see anybody.
We don't know that many songs.
Yeah, we didn't see anybody doing what we were going to do, you know, and people just kept telling us like, just put a camera on and do what you do live, you know? But I think the thing that really pushed us into it was, you know, we had done Warped Tour, and that was really good. But even for Warped Tour, it was a down year. You know, that was the second to last year they did Warped Tour, and you know, they weren't getting, for us, it was huge, but I think for Warped Tour, it was a pretty, you know, had fallen off quite a bit as far as turnout. And then we did a tour on our own after that. And
it sucked.
Yeah, we really got our egos knocked back down to earth. Like, and it was something we had kind of suspected, and we had seen as a trend over the last, you know, the few years leading up to it, that like the indie music scene, the club scene was dying a slow death, you know, probably for the last, I mean, I don't, probably even before I got involved, you know, but by the time 2017 hit, it was sad. And we did this tour, like, you know, during the second week of when college had started up, and we were playing in college towns where, you know, 10 years ago, we would have had a couple hundred people watching us. And like some of the shows had literally 5 people, and like in famous, well-known, you know, music clubs in college towns. And I'm like, this sucks. Like so we'd actually considered just calling it, you know, as a band, basically, and just becoming a recording project. And then Twitch happened, and it changed everything.
It seems like it. I don't know. I'm not an expert in this, but it seems to me, even since I started watching you, since we started watching you, I've seen your viewers grow. And I've seen the engagement grow. And so I gotta think that once things start opening back up, you're gonna have a lot more people at your shows than you did before, you know, on that tour.
We don't know. We're scared. Yeah, we
have no idea. Oh my gosh.
And the other thing is, like, you know, from a practical standpoint, like, we don't know that we do want to go back to doing live because, you know, we can go down in our basement. We have all of our gear there. We can play for 3 or 4 hours and know we're going to have a few hundred people, you know, and over the period of that 4 hours, like sometimes it's like 4,000 people, you know, not at
popping
once, but
out,
over the 4 hour time span, it's like, do we really want to give up that to go play a club and maybe have, you know, 50 people there. And then we've had to tear down all of our stuff and drive, you know, yada, yada, yada. It goes on and on and on. But like the economics of it, and I don't mean financially, but the economics of time and
energy, and effort.
So we have 2 shows, I think, like for sure we're going to do 2 shows this year. And I don't know if we'll do any more than that. We're going to do 1 in October in Bloomington, Illinois, and then 1 in November for the Devo convention in early November and in Cleveland. And I don't know if that'll be it. We'll see what happens.
You know, those are all extremely valid points, because it's interesting, because we've talked to bands that have said like they could not wait to get back out. And this is like a completely different perspective that I'm like, it's actually really fair. And plus when you say we're scared, like I've started just going out and doing more work related things that are out with people and I get exhausted and I didn't even realize it. And there's just such comfort at home because we had to make our home so comfortable and having everything right there. And so you can like get changed into your stuff and then go downstairs and all these people pop in. It's like, wow, this is streamlined. Yeah. This is great. Yeah.
Super convenient.
And like, what if we go and play and, you know, and we only have like, you know, back to the sort of, you know, size of audience we had before, like that would just be soul crushing all over again.
Right. Right.
But we still, I mean, there's still something that's, you can't replace that of being in person, then people singing songs back to you and dancing.
Yeah. And like, just the energy of being in a room.
So we don't want to give that up completely, but we'll probably just obviously be doing it a lot less than we were doing before.
Be more selective, I guess. Yeah.
It seems to me that your live show would translate better than most bands to Twitch or an online platform, because everything you're doing visually, like the whole style, like it just seems like it really fits this platform, and it's that's what's so cool. So I mean, how was it weird just like playing to a camera the first couple times?
Yeah, definitely. I think we just kind of looked at it like, oh, we're just rehearsing, and then we were talking with people in chat and stuff, but now you could describe it better. I feel like now it kind of feels like a real in-person thing, because it just, people put up their emotes and different things are happening. And we also get to showcase a lot of what Chicken Burger Disco does more with his commercials. And he, that's a whole other
thing. Mini documentaries and stuff that he makes, you know, the action for, you know, he makes a line of custom toys based on us and based on characters from our show. Like it's grown into a whole thing. Universe.
Yeah. I got to look into this.
It's awesome. It's, I mean, you guys are kind of have a little bit of a variety show going on.
Yeah,
we're trying to think of what we're going to do in October. October 23rd, the first live show we'll be back at is, I don't know if we're going to fully commit to this, but we want to basically stop treating live shows as like we're just another band on a four band bill, and instead do like something like the Fantastic Plastics present the Plastic Party Live.
I love it.
A longer thing, you know, maybe something over an hour that's like part music, part, you know, multimedia, part audience participation. So we're trying to develop that now, because I mean, I've been doing this for like 20 years of just being a punk rocker doing, like, I'm tired of that. Like the idea of freaking loading up your car and driving 3 hours to do a sound check, to wait for 4 hours, to play for 35 to 45 minutes, to tear down and do it, like the 12 hours to play for like 35 to 45 minutes is just like, I am not into like wasting my time. It's not a waste of time. Like the time on stage is perfect, but it's all the wasted time before you play and after you play and all that. Like Twitch has spoiled the shit out of me.
And I understand, like, I'm not a musician. I'm not in a band, but I always thought that, you know, people kind of glorify going on tour. And I always thought like, I don't think I'd like it. I think I would hate it, because you're traveling, so much work, but you get that short little time where, like you said, where it's great, but then it's all the other shit that goes on to get you there and to get you to the next place and stuff. So I'm kind of with you on that one.
It's how people get in trouble. Like, you know, when the few times I was in a band that was seriously touring, like it got to the point where you didn't even care about the show anymore because you'd found so many ways to fill your spare time. It was like, and usually people filled that time with like, you know, going to bars or drinking or going to parties, and other people, you know, that's where people get into drugs and things like that. Like, luckily our band was mostly just trying to, you know, find college parties and drink. But I, you know, I've seen other bands firsthand that
totally,
this is where their drug problems and things come from. It's just, it's not a good, you have to be super disciplined and find something to do to kill your time, like hiking or reading or a hobby that you can do on the road. But yeah, just the slog of killing time day after day gets old really fast.
I can't imagine being in the car that long.
That'd drive me crazy.
I would go nuts. I would go nuts. When I used to promote, I used to try to have things that were very like homey with me. Like I'd bring like sandwiches or whatever, like cold medicine, which a lot of times people were like, oh my God, thank you. Because they were all sick. With close friends that were touring, I just have them over and actually make them food, and they got to
that's nice.
They were so excited to sleep on the floor, which just was funny, and they were like, I don't have to sleep in the van. Thank you. And they actually had like a little bit of space to themselves. But for me being such a space freak, like I always say that I have a comfort bubble, to have like people so in my space would totally drive me crazy.
Yeah. That'd be very tough. Yeah, for sure. So you guys,
sorry, one last.
No, you're good.
I don't want to give the impression that touring is all bad because right. It's not.
Oh no, right. It's way fun.
You
see
the country, you meet cool people, yeah. And I'm definitely focusing on the negative. But like, there's awesome aspects of touring that I, you know, being on a Warped Tour and literally going from coast to coast and seeing parts of the country we've never seen. Like, that's probably my favorite.
It was incredible.
Oh no, and we totally weren't thinking that. And that's actually when you were talking about Warped Tour with people with it dropping off. I was just laughing in my head because I used to live for Warped Tour. And then around those, like 2017, wasn't it? I was being an adult working. And I, when it came up to it, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can get dehydrated and sunburned. Yeah. Exactly. Like you really want to go. But
about 21, 22 and it's,
you just done. Get tired and right. It makes sense. But I mean, for the club shows that made me sad to hear that there was only like 5 people showing up because those are our favorite type of concerts.
Oh, still to this day. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the shows I like to go to. Smaller venues and sometimes just the bars. Cause that's when you get to be up close and personal with people and generally you get the best music, I think. And so as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, I miss those shows.
Well, a lot of those shows didn't have local bands. It was like 2 or 3 touring bands on each bill. And that's always a bad idea.
If people don't know who you are, they're probably not going to come.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Some of those places didn't do a good job of putting like local acts. So
I like your idea of kind of putting together, you know, a full show because you guys you're doing interviews. Like you do an interview show now too, right?
Yeah, that's the plastic show.
And that's a lot of fun.
You're looking at right now this set.
Yeah, okay. Like it's a different side, and to me, like I really enjoy seeing you discuss things with other people, and I like the entire show and just everything you put together with that is it's like a whole different element. I think you guys are great at it, and I think it's outstanding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When did you start?
Initially, it came about because. Just playing music for four to 5 hours was kind of exhausting. We're like, what else can we stream? What else can we do to like bring some variety to it? And initially Tyson was going to just do it on his own. But I think we made like a little promo for it. Chicken Burger just quit it and he put me in it too. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing it too. But I'm glad. It's fun. It's super fun. I love learning. We've had some really interesting guests on there and it's surreal and fun. And now we're doing like a game show element to it. And it's, a blast.
We had the original rhythm guitarist from Weezer on, and he, you know, he left the band right before the Blue Album came out. He's on some of the tracks, and they had to re-record some of his stuff, but some of his stuff is still there. And he's credited with writing "My Name Is Jonas." And like, I mean, how cool is that? Like I'm a big Weezer fan, you know, especially the first couple albums, like everyone. But like, get to talk to that guy, and he gave us like the most in-depth story of how Weezer formed and his time with Rivers, and like it was just. It blew our minds. Like he talked for like over an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like it was just our people. We got to see that, you know, we didn't put it on YouTube or anything afterwards, but for the people that were there in that moment, it was incredible. So anyway, the talk show's been fun. We've kind of put it on pause for the summer, but we'll be popping it back up soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something to be said about, and we are even doing this with this show, is that there's something to be said to actually get to know the people and hear what their background is more than just the music, because then it just connects you to the music and the people even more. And, you know, like we've gotten a lot of really good friends through music and getting to know them and asking them about their stories. And you learn so much and it just gives it so much more depth. But I love what you guys are doing. And if you guys, this is being recorded so you can't see, but Miranda has the cutest little cat on her shoulder. We'll put up a picture and he's just kicking his feet. So the whole time we're talking, you guys are both so smiley and happy. And so you guys are the reason why, like in my head, I thought Twitch was literally just watching people play video games and all yell at each other. And so when Alan's like,
a lot of people think that.
Yeah. So when Alan's like, oh, there's this cool band on Twitch. And I was like, I don't want to watch Twitch. That's just like where you watch video games. And then that was when he like threw his phone at me and I was like, there's music on Twitch. And so what you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. Keep going with it because you're growing something really incredible and you guys are so creative and artistic and so multi-talented. Why wouldn't you expand? into things that you want to explore. I mean, you're taking it way further than anybody else would. And I'm like, keep going. It's incredible. You're doing an you're amazing
really,
job. Yeah,
you're really maximizing the platform. It feels like you guys are really pushing it. And maybe other people are doing it. I'm not really up on Twitch, but you guys are really kind of using it for, I think, what it can be, which is great. And I think it's
we are the only ones doing this. Don't watch anyone else.
Yeah, don't watch anyone else.
Nobody else is doing anything fun.
One thing I really love about your streams is everyone is so goddamn positive in the comment and like in the comments and in the chat, which is
it's a nice change.
Not the case in a lot of other Twitch streams that I've seen.
Yeah, we try to keep it that way because it's supposed to be like a party. Like you don't want people to be like, you know, if there's somebody that's just like a jerk at a party, no one wants that. So, yeah, we try to keep the positive vibes. But that's in general. I feel like the music, in general, it's pretty positive. The music streams, most people's streams are that way.
And we learn pretty fast. Like, there's some streams that kind of live on the edge of letting trolls go in there, and if it can immediately ruin a person's stream. And I don't just mean the active stream that day, but it can like permanently ruin their stream because there's something weird about once you let that toxic behavior in. And it just builds. It can just build. And like, and the part of it is like, you can't tell what people's intentions are when they say things in chat. So sometimes people like myself, like I have a real dry sense of humor and I might be saying something kind of jokingly, but it can land in chat as like a super negative comment. And everybody right now thinks they're freaking hilarious. And most people are hilarious. And like, sometimes the sense of humor that they'll get lost in chat when there's nothing to like,
context
and other than some emotes maybe. Yeah. So we've tried really hard to like foster that out of our community, just to, you know, there's plenty of other places if you want to be a troll.
There's lots of places to go be a troll.
It's the whole internet, man.
That's why it's refreshing to be in like a positive environment, actually have a little bit of fun, because it's been a rough year. I've been trying to correct myself from always saying it's been a rough year, because actually a lot of good came out of it.
True.
And so it was both. And you see people going this way or that way, but I love the idea of keeping it positive so you can go have some fun. Exactly. You know?
Is it hard to multitask, like monitor the chat, run the Twitch stream, play the instruments, like take requests? Is that interact with everybody in chat? Is that a difficult thing to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Tyson's like basically like a producer, cameraman. He's putting getting the songs queued up, and then I'm trying to catch up with the chat and make sure everything's going on there. And just we're on camera, so we have to try to like not have dead air and try to be entertaining the whole time. And it's a lot of multitasking, but there's a thing that people say, it's called streamer brain, where you're like, you're just trying to focus on so many things that like you forget the last, like I'm always like, what song are we gonna play? Like, which song is it?
But that's also where the Chicken Burger Disco video stuff comes in, because like if there's been a lot of stuff happening in chat we need to address or we need to get stuff ready, it's just like boom, throw on some of the the fake commercials or fake documentaries that are like, you know, they're only 30 seconds or a minute, but usually that's all you need to like
so we can tune our instruments or do something that's behind the scenes, I guess.
I'm just impressed. My best friend Carrie and I can always tell. We'll call each other like if one of us is at work, and we can tell because the other person just stops talking.
Yeah.
And it's like you're answering like an email, aren't you?
Conversation, you mean?
Yeah.
Now imagine if there was a camera on you.
I'm so impressed with you, because I would probably be accidentally reading a message out without even realizing it.
Oh, I do. We had one 2 nights ago that was really nasty.
Read it in your head first.
I read it out loud. I didn't even realize what I had said.
It just came out. It happens. And sometimes people's usernames are pretty funny and they purposely make them funny because they want to hear you say it.
Like somebody's was, my balls are itchy. Yes. It felt all funny. So I was like sounding it out real slow.
That's great.
Oh, okay. That's what they're doing. Okay.
I love that stuff though. Like I'm fine.
We laugh about it a lot.
What do your neighbors think? Because it sounds like you guys are making a lot of noise there.
We are pretty loud, but we're in our basement, and the neighbors on one side of us had moved out, and we're on a corner so that.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
I think we're okay for now.
Okay.
But the crazy thing is, though, is like all the music is in our in-ear monitors.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just our voices. Oh, okay.
Nice. And so they just hear you guys like singing to yourself, talking.
I'm so late.
Yeah. I use a megaphone on a couple songs too. So they, if someone was living right there, they probably could hear that a little bit. But we did test it. When we first started just using our basement as a rehearsal space, we turned everything up and Tyson went outside and I was like yelling in the mics just to see like how loud, if it would bother our neighbors. And it really, we have a pretty good insulation there.
Oh, that's awesome. I know we always get scared when we're watching sports. There are times when
I scream and yell.
Yeah, he's a screamer. So every once in a while, I'm like, I hope the neighbors don't hear this horribly bad.
They can tell how the game's going just by listening.
I have a question off topic. I've been dying to ask you. Are you related to Wink Martindale?
No. Actually, that's funny because I have not. When I was a kid, I used to get that question all the time. And I have probably not got that question in 10, 15 years.
Oh my gosh, his face just totally lit up. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Do you know who Wink Martindale is?
I have no idea who that is.
He was a game show host like back in the way, way back before my time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know because on the Game Show Network, you can see some of the old, you know, stuff with him. But
yeah.
Alan does. I say, Alan has the radio voice. That was like the first thing I noticed about him. I'm like, wow, your voice is amazing.
I worked hard at it. So, okay, one question, and we'll let you guys go soon because you guys have been very generous with your time. But, okay, I have to know because the theremin is one of the most fascinating, interesting instruments to me because it's so weird. How do you even start to learn how to play that thing?
Oh, it's super easy. I mean, the one that I have is made by Moog. It's the theremin-y, and you basically just plug it in and you can play because all, you know, it's just, you just use your right hand on the antenna part that sticks up to control the pitch. So the farther away your hand is, the lower the pitch, and the closer it is, the higher the pitch. And then there's a little loop thing on the left side and that's the volume. And so you can control it that way. And there's all kinds of cool sounds and elements you can use with it. So anyone can play it, really.
Yeah, there's different levels. There's like, you know, there's this famous woman from like the 20s or 30s. Her name was Clara Rockmore.
Yeah,
like she played it like she played it literally in symphony orchestras, like for a while,
like playing notes, specific notes, and songs and things. But we use it more of like a textural thing. But we've been getting into it a little bit more. Now one of our like channel point redemptions is people can use their points that they earn on Twitch to redeem a theremin solo that's just for them. And so we'll try different things with it there.
Spontaneously improvise, you know, like a little song where the theremin's the lead instrument. And
But we actually didn't have it on any of our recorded music for the first couple albums, but we do use it on our most recent album Malfunction in a couple songs, and we want to keep incorporating it in our music.
It just looks awesome live though. You're like, what the hell is
it? It looks like a little spaceship.
And it's like you have to dance to even play it. Like,
I was just gonna say that.
It's so crazy, man. And I have no rhythm, so I would fail. But
it does take a lot of control. That's the only hard part about it, is like if you want to hit specific notes, like it takes, you have to practice that, I guess, the control aspect of it. But really, it's fun. If you get a chance to play one, definitely do it.
They're so cool.
Is that next on your list?
I don't know. I got a lot of things on my list right now. I'm going to stick with the spray paint art first. But yeah. So you're writing a new album?
We started really hitting it hard last week. We've had a pile of demos, but we've got like five in flight. I mean, the goal, which I don't think there's any way we'll meet. I was hoping to have it done for that live show in November. But it's kind of weird because back in, you know, the whole world's changed so fast with the record industry. It needs to be a thing where like you'd basically turn in your record and then you wouldn't even get to release it for 3 to 6 months. But now it doesn't matter. And so now the way Spotify really wants artists to work is to like drop a new single every few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be pretty cool because I think as soon as we start getting enough songs done that we can send off to get mixed and mastered, like we'll probably just start dropping single after single, you know, building up to an album. We could have a whole discussion on it, but basically it's a way to cook your numbers. So Spotify wants you to treat their platform like people do YouTube. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is with Spotify is they'll collect all the numbers from your singles, and then the day your album releases, they'll drop all those numbers onto the album.
Oh, nice.
And that's how like Drake or whoever, you know, the day their album comes out, they have like a billion views already. It's because they have 10 singles
collected.
That makes
sense.
So you can't trust the charts anymore. They're all right. None of them make sense. And for us, it's not like we're ever going to chart. But, you know, for us, it's just a cool way to slowly release something to give people. We'll be able to give people new stuff sooner than waiting for a completed.
That makes sense, because it used to be like one single would drop before the record mm-hmm. came out, you know, and now like you hear like half the record before it even releases. And I never understood why that kind of changed, but that makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're trying to keep it like a social media platform.
Yeah.
They just want content. Yeah. So like,
newness
yeah.
always. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right, because people would drop a single, then an album, and then continue to drop singles.
Right.
They don't do that. I mean, all the singles come out up front and then the album, and then I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's fun to learn how the sausage is made, because I'm so far on the outside. So.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
I feel so disconnected.
Well, I mean, is there anything else you had?
No, I just wanted to tell you guys how amazing you are. Keep doing it. I mean, keep going. You guys are incredible. Thank you for coming on. We were just so excited to talk to you.
And we will we'll put links on our website at talkmusictomeslc.com. We'll put links to the Twitch stream, all the social media stuff, the YouTube, which you're doing lots of fun YouTube stuff. I mean, you guys are definitely a band that is meant to be seen as well as heard.
Yes.
Like, to me, it's that adds to the experience, and that's part of the fun is seeing everything you guys are doing. So
thank you. I think we spend more time on the visuals than we do the music.
Yeah.
Not that we don't spend time on the music, right, but we definitely, Well, you nailed it. Thank you.
And the stuff that Chicken Burger Disco is doing is outstanding. Like the stuff he's putting together. And see, I mean, I'm a video editor, so that's kind of my bread and butter. And so I love seeing the design that he's put together and everything you guys have done and the outfits. Like, to me, it's a lot of fun. So we'll put links to all that stuff. I think we're going to go out on a song. I'm not sure what song it's going to be, but it's the Fantastic Plastics. And guys, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun. I'm actually like, after having talked to them, I'm just like in an excellent mood and just like their presence.
They're your kind of people.
Like, they are my kind of people.
I can see you just light up during this because they're fun.
Uh-huh.
They're positive.
They're like, sweet. This
is, it's you. It's
good-hearted. You. Good-hearted.
And these are your people. And so I just saw you light up during this interview and that was a lot of fun. So.
Well, and they were all lit up. It's lovely to see creative people getting the support they need to be creative and seeing they seem like they're really growing in a lot of different ways than what we've seen with what other people are doing. I think it's fantastic. And it's just showing that how talented they are and that they're willing and brave enough to step out and try it. And it's successful.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So the thing I really like and admire about them is they've taken a platform, Twitch, and obviously there are other musicians on there and there are people doing cool stuff on Twitch, but what they're maximizing that platform.
Absolutely.
They're like, what more can we do? And they're branching out and it's not, and I don't know, it just kind of feels like for a while there, bands kind of fell into the same old routine of doing the same things and, you know, you go and tour and you make a record and that's great. But I just love it when people are thinking outside of the box and trying new things and doing new things. So I agree.
And you know what? And we'll post the picture, but even their Zoom was awesome. So they pop on and they've got dancing like characters as they popped on. And then they come up and they've got this amazing background. The little kitty sitting on the shoulder. I mean, they're just so entertaining in so many ways. So they're utilizing everything that they're doing. So I'm floored. I'm just absolutely impressed with them.
Well, it was really cool. Because, you know, they asked, is this going to be video or is it just audio? And I said, oh, it's just an audio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So no need to go all out and get in the uniforms and everything. And then they popped up and they're still like,
they're still decked out
and look great.
I know there's a part of me that's like, damn, we should have recorded this. But they're so fun. I mean,
it makes me want to start doing things like on YouTube and stuff, like trying to branch out a little bit.
Totally.
So maybe we should start figure something out.
I know.
They're inspiring us.
Well, they're incredible, you guys. They're doing a lot of big things. And so if you need like a little happy spotlight in your life, watch them on Twitch on Fridays and see what they're up to and listen to their music on Spotify and get a little happy in your life. I think we all need it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do, for sure. So that was fun. All right. Enough rambling. Go check them out. Again, our website is talkmusictomeslc.com. We got some more interviews in the works, so we'll be back with more fun people to talk to.
That's right.
We're just going to keep padding our resume, I guess. It'll be fun. All right, we'll talk to you then.
Okay.
Oh, do you want to get Houston?
Oh, yes. Oh. They will freak out.
Oh, my God. They're going to totally freak. Okay, yeah. Put that on.
Okay. Hey, do you think it would have been scarier if I'd brought a vampire mask? Because I was kind of torn between this alien and a cool vampire mask they had. But I went with this one because, you know, the eyes are scarier.
You didn't get the alien because we're up in... Because of the... Whatever. Put it on. Go. Here we go. Ready? We're doing this. Okay. Mission Control, come in, Mission Control. Houston, this is Apollo 24. Something has gone wrong on the ship.
Apollo, what's the problem?
Something spooky's going on here, Mission Control. Something's not right.
Well, what's wrong?
I don't think we're alone on the ship. I heard something.
I want to suck your blood!
Apollo 24 has been compromised by alien forces, sending interception missile to destroy the ship.
Wait, what?
Oh.
What did you do?
What did you do?
We were just having a goof. Were you scared?
What was all that stuff about destroying the ship?
Well, I thought you guys had been attacked by aliens, so I sent a missile to destroy the ship. It's protocol.
Well, undo it.
I can't undo that.
You seem so calm about that.
Yeah, have you done this before?
Yeah.
What?
The Challenger, all the Neptune missions.
What Neptune missions?
See?
Oh, geez, I can see the missile coming.
Well, shit, man. This plan sure backfired.
You know, you could have just hit Command-Z and it would have stopped that missile.
Yeah, I know.
This has been a Studio B production.